In this picture, we're comparing the continental United States with India. You look up to hard left there, and you'll see Alaska. I'm not talking about that, but just talking about continental United States. Move across the Atlantic, you come to Africa. Now, I might mention Africa is one of the most needy places on the planet. Great numbers of children who the homes are run by children, and the government classifies them that way because so many parents have died from AIDS over there. And there's really a great work of helping orphans and those in that continent, especially South Africa. And then you move across, you come across then the Arabian Sea there, and then you come to India, which is a small triangular country there in that picture. There you have continental United States and India. The United States has 3.8 million square miles. India has 1.26 million square miles. The United States has about 320 million people, and India has 1.3 billion people. And India has 84 square miles per person, and India has 9.6 miles per person. By the way, of the 1.3 billion people in India, 52% of them are in agriculture, hand farming most of the people. The United States has three times the land that India does, and it has four times the population that we do. Now, Laura and I went to Pakistan in 1967, and the church at Camden, Tennessee, was our sponsor when we did that. They gave us $50 a month and sponsored us. And presently, this is our 14th year. During all of these 50 years, we've worked with congregations as them overseeing our work. But presently, we're with the Crossville congregation, Crossville, Tennessee, which is about halfway between Knoxville and Nashville on I-40. There are five elders at this time, and by the grace of God, in November the 4th of last year, I turned 81, and I'm now older than all the elders. Now, I said that last summer to someone. They said, cumulative? I said, no, not cumulative. Now, we're looking at the world's masses, 7.2. If the Cary Church were the only Church of Christ on the planet, you would have the need of getting the gospel to all of those people. And so all of the Churches of Christ in America and everywhere must ratchet up their desire to get the gospel to the world, because Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. The U.S., as I mentioned, 320 million people. India last year had 1.3 billion, which is four times the U.S. population. This is a good thing. I'm glad so many young people are in here tonight. Of the that 1.3 billion, 45% of them are under the age of 15, which means there's 600 million children, young people there, that are under the age of 15. Now, when I planned to go to India, I didn't plan to go to hold gospel meetings. Now, I'm not talking against brethren who go over. You'll have 8 or 10 brothers sometimes go over, and they spend a month or 2 months just doing gospel meetings, baptize a lot of people. But my aim from the beginning, in fact, when we went to Pakistan in 1967, the aim was to obey 2 Timothy 2:2. Now, the command, get the gospel to every creature. The way is to train faithful men. Paul said to Timothy, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So the work is training native Christians to reach their own with the pure gospel. Now, I said the pure gospel because First Galatians 1:6 says, if an angel come from heaven and gives you a different gospel, that angel is under a curse. It wouldn't do one bit of good for me to go to India or any place else and teach a watered-down gospel, because it would not save anyone's soul. But that's not the bottom line. You know, if you've got someone who helps you with investments, you say, well, to the person in charge of that, you say, what is the bottom line? So the bottom line is planning strong local churches of Christ that will continue to function after you and I are dead. Now, this is India's big problem. The name Shiva up there is one of their major gods. Now, usually you'll see it written with an H, and it's Shiva. And Parvati, the picture of the woman, all of this is the figment of somebody's imagination. She's supposedly his wife, and they have a child that's an elephant god. And usually Ganesha will be pictured. You go into many, many shops, they have a picture on the wall, and they'll have a big fat man with an elephant head, and that's Ganesha. And you will notice they have more arms or more hands. And you say, well, why do they have so many hands and arms? They'll say, well, they're a god, they can serve many people. Now, I'm coming to the deep south of India, to the state of Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu is about the size of North Carolina, maybe a little bit bigger. I don't know the population of North Carolina, but I suspect it's about 7 million. Tamil Nadu has 73 million people in it. And this is our college-age young people. It's in the state of Tamil Nadu. It's the Tamil-speaking people. And we have one building for our girls and one building for the boys. In India, parents arrange marriages. And if we put those kids together, they would arrange their own marriages. So we have one building for the boys and one for the girls. Now, here they are. This is a graduation at the end of April last year, the fourth Saturday in April. We have graduation every year. You see the young men there in their red ties and shirts. You see the sisters in the blue saris. By the way, you may know a sari is just a long piece of cloth. In fact, it consists of an end skirt going from the waist down to the ankles and a blouse, and then 16 feet of cloth which they wind around them. And so all of those girls in the blue, they are teachers or instructors. In fact, the sister right in the middle, you see she's kind of pale. She's Don Iverson's wife. The Iversons live up in the North Carolina mountains in Banner Elk, North Carolina. And they work very much in the South, and they send a lot of people to the school for young people. And see the girls, they're in the red saris, and there were 27 of them. Now, the girl who is presently the principal of the school, if you look at the bottom of this letter here, her name is Mercy Wilson. She obeyed the gospel back in 1992, and she was 16 years old, and she was from a so-called high-caste Hindu family. Her name was Ishwari, the name of a Hindu goddess, but she didn't like that, so she changed her name to Mercy and eventually married a young man by the name of Wilson. Now, she had 27 girls last year, in February last year, ready to graduate in April. On Saturday, February the 13th, 26 of those girls started writing memory verses. Now, I might tell you, they put in 4.5 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 years, and every day they must memorize 3 verses of Scripture. So on the 13th of February last year, Mercy sat down her girls at 9:30 in the morning, and they wrote till about 9:30 at night. What happens, the first-year girls, when these girls are writing, they don't even stop for food. The girls that are first-year girls, they bring the food to them where their desk. And one girl wrote down 585 verses. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know a preacher in America that can sit down and write 585 verses. But the next girl wrote 541, 521, 517, and 510 verses. The total written by the 26 girls was 9,000 verses. And they just sat down and did that. Now, one girl was sick and she couldn't be there. And so she got back and she said, well, I won't write them, I'll quote them. And she quoted 100 verses. Now, the boys, I think, they're right next door, and the boys, I think, were intimidated by the girls. So 3 weeks later, the boys started writing, and you will see one boy right there in the middle. In about a 12-hour period, he wrote 910 verses, and of these 7 boys that you see, all of them wrote 600 or more verses. Now, brothers and sisters, these young people are not any smarter than our young people here in America, but the problem is we as teachers and preachers and adult parents, we don't expect it of them. We expect it of these young people there in India, and they fulfill our expectation. Now, I said we give them 4.5 hours a day in Bible class, but that's not all they do. In the afternoons, they study computers, and you can see the computer desk that we have there, and they study computers, and then at the end of the year of studying computers, a local college gives them a test and then awards them a certificate from the state of being a computer literate. Also, you see the group on the left. This is all of the girls that were seniors. This is this year's graduation group. This is a different group. And you will see the white girl right there in the middle of them. Her name is Megan Phyllis. Megan is a nurse. She's 26 years old, and she's a nurse in Columbus, Ohio, a member of the Alki Road Church. And she told me about 18 months ago, said, I want to go to India and do some mission work. I said, okay, you can go to India and you can teach our girls how to do things that first responders do. You know, the EMT, Emergency Medical Technician Service, they will go to a fire or they will go to where there's an accident. And I said, you can teach these girls. And she did that. And she not only did that in the South, where I'm talking about right there in Tamil Nadu, she did it up in the North also. Now, this is our first building that we bought. We bought this building back in 1993. It was a building that was owned by a company that had broiler houses, and we bought their office there. And for the first 10 years, we put our girls in that, and then we put the boys in that and moved the girls into this. Now, some of you who are in construction, you know that here in construction work here in America, it'll cost you maybe $125 to $150 a square foot to build. We built that building in 2007. It cost us $25 a square foot. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes about a building we're building for our blind, a school for the blind and the deaf, and I'll tell you about that. Now, this is another state. I mentioned to you about Tamil Nadu. It is the larger of the two states in the South. It is on the eastern seaboard of India, and then to the west on the Arabian Sea, you have the state of Kerala. Well, these are three elders in the Palakkad Church of Christ in Kerala, and they have 32 men that they have in a preacher training school. Now, that's one of our full-time preacher training schools. Here is a picture of India. India has 29 states, 5 federal districts, and is one-third the size of the United States with about 4 times the population. Now, you will look at the arrow up there at the top, and now I'm going to talk about Northeast India. The Northeast Indians are Mongolian people. They're like the American tribals, Cherokee, Choctaw, Huron, Iroquois, Navajo, Apache. They're like Chinese. They're like Koreans. They're not like Indians that you see in the convenience stores and the hotels in this country. Now, right where that arrow is pointing is in the state of Assam. You can see it's shaped kind of like a chicken foot. Now, I want to ask, how many of you men, and or women too, that you remember the Burma Road? Put your hand up if you remember hearing the lots of you, okay. I was riding along that highway right in the middle of that state of Assam, and I come up on this billboard that was 4 times as big as our billboards, and it said the Burma Road. What happened in 1942, General Stilwell, American general, started building a road out of India into Burma and then through the Himalaya Mountains. Before that, the American Air Force was having to fly material, military ordnance, over the hump, over the eastern end of that. And they built Burma Road, and General Stilwell was the one who did that. Now, here you see we have another arrow there. Now, that right there, that is in an Indian state where that arrow is, but it's on the Burma border, the Burma, which is now called Myanmar. That's where we have a school of preaching right there. Now, in the white spot above that blue, you compare that to Maine and then Canada. Well, there it's China that's there. It's just on the border with China. And we're coming back to the south. This is Tamil Nadu, where I showed you the young men, young women have the school. And then we have another school. Look up there in the north, and you'll see. And I mentioned to you a couple of times that there are tribal people up there. And this one tribe where that third arrow up there in the north is, they are called the Karbis. And they are very open to obeying the gospel. And when they obey the gospel, they're very zealous to spread the gospel. Now, this is down in the state of Arunachal Pradesh. In fact, they have carved out of Arunachal Pradesh, they have carved out another state called Telangana. Now, most of the brothers that you hear about around the United States who go to India, they go to Arunachal Pradesh is where they go to. So we're working out by the grace of God. Now, let me mention this. As I talk about the numbers that we're training, which is a great number, I do not want you to even to begin to commence to start to think that I'm bragging, because there are 1.3 billion people in the ocean. And we're training over 1,000, but brothers and sisters, that's like going out here to the ocean and spitting in it to see how much it's going to rise like that. In other words, what I'm saying is we've got to do much, much more. Now, this is the Northeast Bible Institute. This is up there in where I talked about the Burma Road in the state of Assam. Now, I want you to look at the eyes on these boys and girls. During the over 20 years that we've been training people over there in India, each year when we had a graduation, I'd get someone to make pictures. And that's worked out fine until recently. Now when you have someone come to make a picture that you want to publish or print, everybody's got to get up and use their mobile phone and make pictures. So the students, they are cross-eyed, trying to figure out which camera they're supposed to look at. And you see these girls here, they couldn't figure out which way to look for the camera. Now, this is the Carby School. I do not have time to tell you about the Carbys, but boy, they are bold in spreading the gospel. These are seven girls. By the way, I'll tell you how many girls after a while we're training, and some people have asked me, well, you train these girls to be preachers? And I say, no. We've been praying to be good Christian wives and good Christian mothers and to teach women and children. So you see in this Carby School last year that we graduated seven last year there. Now, this is our English medium school, and Brother Billy Simmons, who comes from Jefferson, Georgia, he comes over each May and June. Now remember, our classes are 4.5 hours a day for 5 days a week. So for 8 weeks, he teaches them the Greek language. And the reason I wanted them to learn Greek is because false teachers use Greek. False teachers will say, oh yeah, you're saying this about baptism, or you're saying this, as one preacher did, about marriage and divorce, but that's not what the Greek says. Well, these young people need to know, when I'm dead, when we are all dead, they will know how to defend the truth. As one brother said, anything you can prove from the Greek, you can prove from the King James Bible. But by the way, you notice the girls? We didn't require the girls to take the Greek, but they wanted to come, so we let them come. Now, this is our evening Bible school in the South. We have actually 78 of these Bible schools in this one cluster. There's another group. And in this picture, you will see 57 brothers who are the teachers of these schools. Now, I'm going to move right on and show you that picture. You will notice that I am seated on the floor. You will also notice that I am holding my leg because I cannot sit down and fold my legs like they can. So I had to sit down and pull my leg up. Now, moving on quickly. Now, if a man is baptized, we don't just immediately put him in a Bible training school. We let him wait 1 year and prove that he's willing to be faithful in attendance and whatever else he can do to serve the Lord. But before they come to take the testing, be in the testing week, we assign them 60 verses of Scripture. And so we have a 5 day of studying and testing. On the first day, they must sit down and write the 60 memory verses. And they must write down these 60 memory verses and make at least 70%. If they don't do that, then they're not allowed. Now, they can come back next year, but they still have to write those 60 verses before they can enroll. Then we have 4 days of testing. I'm going to tell you about a lot of the literature we give away here at the end. And one of the booklets in there is called Introduction to Faith. And it has 200 questions talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his establishment of his kingdom on Pentecost. And I use it to do home Bible studies. But we use it in these testing classes. So they study this for 4 days, Introduction to Faith. And presently we have 78 enrolled with 599 that are in the three Indian states of Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. Now we're going to move on quickly. This gives you an idea of our full-time schools. We have full-time schools all the way up in the north, in Arunachal Pradesh. That's the one I told you is over on the Burma border. The state of Arunachal joins China on the north. And then we have another school there that in there and in Nagaland, the state of Nagaland, we have 30 in it. We have 8 women. In all of our schools where we have men and women, we have them. It's not coeducational. But like I say, if we put them together, they arrange their own marriages. In Manipur, you have a Bible Institute, and that's in Nagaland. And then you have the Bible School Institute in Assam. I've just told you about that in the Carby. Then there's the English medium school you see there. And then you see the school for the blind and the deaf. Now that's in the south. That is in the state of Tamil Nadu. And then we have the Bible Institute for men. I showed you the graduation there. And then the Bible, next door, the Bible Institute for women and how many we have in that. And then in the state of Kerala, in the town of Palakkad, we have 32 men that are in that school. And then the total number of those that we have in the schools, I'm talking about the daytime schools, full-time schools, is 221, and we have 136 girls. Now, this is our school for the blind. This school has been in existence about 20 years, a little more than 20 years. And you see the brothers up there, and you see the girls. They're not dressed in the saris. They're dressed in what they call the shalwar kameez. In the South, they call it chutidar, and I won't explain that. But the shalwar kameez means the baggy pants, and the kameez means the dress that comes down to their knees, and they always carry a scarf, and that's called dupatta. Now, for the 20 years that we've had this blind school for the blind deaf going, we have lodged our teachers in small space on campus, and then sometimes we'd rent space for them off campus. So now, back in September, we started building special quarters. We're going to build four apartments for our teachers and 600 square feet in each one of the apartments, and that was the foundation in September. Here's a little further along, and then I got this picture last week. They've already finished the ground floor. This building, I told you the building we built for the girls back in 2007 cost us $25 a square foot. This is costing us $28 a square foot now, this time. Now, in evening Bible schools, there's 78 in one cluster, you might say, in 599. And then we have downstate in Tamil Nadu, we have nine other schools, there's 53 in it. Then in the north, we have a school, we have five in it. And then we have a church at 8 kilometers, if you can imagine. Going down the road here, and you had the 8 Mile Church of Christ. That's what they call 8 Kilometer Church of Christ. And so the total evening schools we have are 89 with 671 enrolled. Full-time schools are 22 with 257 enrolled, so we have a total of 1,028. I want to repeat what I said because I want to put this in perspective. We are spitting in the ocean. When you got a 1.3 billion people, we need to be training 10,000, not 1,000. Now, this is Brother Stan. He is the son of the mother and father who were the first women principal and man principal. That's his wife right there. She's a teacher in the school. And you see how it's written. It's Mahala, but they pronounce it the way it's a Tamil language. They pronounce it Megala. They get a G sound to me out of it. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need young people and even preachers who are retired who will say, I will go, and I'll go for 6 months, a year, or I'll go for 2 months and teach, because we really have a great need to have teachers there. Now, let me see if I can pick that last one up. You can bear fruit by training preachers to win souls. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. John 6:8. Paul wrote, it is not that I seek the gift, but that fruit might abound under your accounts. Philippians 4:17. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses. 2 Timothy 2:2. The same commit to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Now, in the north, we train them to grow broilers to use in the kitchen. We have to have, for the English medium school, we have to have 75 chickens because we serve meat 2 days a week. And so we have, for the last 3 years, been teaching them how to grow broilers. They not only do they feed them and take care of them, but they have to pluck them and they have to cut them up and prepare them for the kitchen. But back when I was there back in August, the brother you see there in the T-shirt, his name is Brother Brian Pitts, and Brian preaches for the church in Woodbury, Tennessee. He's also an experienced carpenter. He comes over every year for the month of August and teaches for us. He's also a carpenter, and he built us a laying house. So now we have chicks that are layers, and we're getting them ready. They're starting to lay in right now. It takes a chick 6 months to become a pullet in order to lay eggs, and they're just beginning to lay as we bought them last fall. Now, if a man works as a coolie, that means a laborer in agriculture. Versailles coolie is the Tamil term for agriculture coolie. and our agricultural laborer. They can make about $5 a day. But if they are able to drive a tractor, they can make $15 to $20 a day. So what we're doing with our students, because they have to compete in the labor market, we are training them to drive a tractor. Bought this tractor for about $10,000 last September, and I leased 10 acres of land for them to grow vegetables on for the kitchen, and now they're learning to drive the tractor. We do this because they need to get jobs when they go out. That's why we train them in computers. That's why we train them to be tailors when they're in the school. Here they are growing vegetables, you see. And on the right side in the picture, you see where we have the broiler pens there. The pens, two pens, 5 feet wide and 10 feet long and about 18 inches high. Now, this is a campaign for Christ that conducted December 26, 2016 through January 4, 2017, 10 days. We had about 800 preachers who were in the school training, and they worked in this. And we then other brothers who had already graduated. So we had, for those 10 days of campaigning for Christ, we had 1,027 preachers. 748 souls were netted for the cause of Christ, and 65 congregations were planted. Then other work in 2016, that the students now, on weekends, they do campaigning door-to-door, and they baptized 1,224. Now, I want to close and have an invitation to get all of you to respond. You might say, well, Jim, what are you talking about? There are 9,000 denominations in the United States of America. You go to Wikipedia, or not Wikipedia, you go to Bing or Google, and you type in how many denominations among the Christians in America, and they'll say 9 or 10,000, and then they say, we really don't know. And while we're here today, somebody probably start another one. You have a preacher, and he'll say, well, God spoke to me. Another preacher will say, well, God spoke to me, and so they divide. And there are two reasons why they divide. One reason, because they want to be a big chicken in a small coop, but also because in America, if you have a church, you don't have to pay taxes on the money. So there are 9,000 denominations. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the night before he was crucified, in John 17:20-21, he said, Father, I pray for these, that is the 12 apostles, but not for the 12 alone, but for all of those who believe on me through their word. That's the New Testament of the apostles of Jesus Christ. I pray for all of those who believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The world doesn't believe. China doesn't believe. And India doesn't believe. Africa doesn't believe. And it's because we have not worked to spread the gospel. Everywhere I go, I'm encouraging churches to have their own in-house training program. When Brother Garland Elkins was living up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, back in 1965, and Brother Gordon Ricketts was there also in Oak Ridge, we built a new building on the eastern side of Knoxville. And I said to Brother Ricketts and I said to Brother Elkins, come over here and let's start a school of preaching. Actually, a Bible training school. We didn't want to just train men. We wanted to train men and women. And so we had about 32. This was 1965 to 1967. And we trained about 6 to 8 men that became preachers or elders. And we had a great number of sisters that we trained to be Bible school teachers. And churches across this country, we have 9,000 churches of Christ that are not anti-orphan home. They're not premillennial. They're not instrumental. They are what you call mainstream churches. And if every congregation across this land would just train 5 disciples every year, that would be thousands that would be trained. Let me ask you a question. I asked preachers this. I said, let me ask you, if you had a congregation of the Church of Christ of 100 members, how many of them could do a home Bible study to teach the story of Jesus and lead someone to Christ? One brother said 2%. Another brother said 3%. I said 3 to 5%. Brothers, we're just not training people. 2 Timothy 2:2 said, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. By the way, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, I will that the men pray everywhere. That's the Greek word, aneir.
So Paul is saying, by the Spirit, I want the males to pray everywhere. That is, the males pray in the public assembly. But in 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, train faithful men. That's the Greek word anthropos. And anthropos means men and women. And so we need Bible schools in which we train men and women. I'm talking about intensive Bible schools. Like have them on Monday nights or Tuesday nights or Thursday nights or Saturday morning. We have got to train people to get the gospel. And by the way, the 20th Century Christian in Nashville, every year they put out statistics on the growth of churches of Christ. And since 2012, we have lost about 6 to 8% of our congregations. Why? Because we're growing older. We're not really pushing people to spread the gospel. And so what I'm urging you to do is to go out and try to speak to someone. I got at least 5 minutes more. Let me tell you this. You got to be bold. I was, I forget the place where it was. Anyway, I was over in Middle Tennessee, and I'm going down this road. It's old Highway 111, State Highway. And I didn't know it even existed, but I was on it. And I came to a new Highway 111. And so I was confused, and I knew about it. So I pulled over and stopped. And boy, just as soon as I stopped, the highway patrolman pulled in right behind me, put on his campaign hat. Good-looking man, maybe 30, 35 years old. He said, you got any problems? I said, no, I just don't know how to get to Mac Mendel. Oh, he said, you just go down new highway to 111 and go down to Highway 8 and go a few miles, and there you are. I said, are you a religious man? He said, yes. I said, let me give you a book, and I have a book, and it's listed in here. I'm going to encourage you to order one. It's called The Work of the Holy Spirit by Brother Howard Winters. It's the best book I've ever written on it, and I had it reprinted in any. We got several thousand of them on hand, and I'd like for you to have one. And so I gave him one, signed it, and put my telephone number in there. Then one morning I was going, we live up near Knoxville, and I was going down toward Middle Tennessee where Nashville is. And it's real early, maybe 5:30 in the morning, and I'm real sleepy. So there at Cookeville, you all know where Cookeville is. There at Cookeville, they have a pull over there where people can carpool and drive to Nashville to work. So I pulled off there, and I thought I'd get a nap. Well, I couldn't sleep. Well, I started up my car, and I looked, and here's this man. He's seated in the car, and he's got on a black suit. He looks like a Philadelphia lawyer. Except he had a bow tie. I don't think they wear bow ties. But anyway, I said, where are you going to preach today? Oh, he said, I'm not a preacher. He said, I'm the one that trains preachers. I said, what church you belong to? He said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mormons. And I said to him, can I give you a book? And I gave him one of the books on the Holy Spirit and put my name and telephone number on it. Now, one more illustration like that. I was over in Arkansas in Little Rock. And I flew from Little Rock to Memphis, and I'm seated in the departure lounge, and I'm talking on my mobile phone, my cell phone, and my wife says you talk too loudly on your phone. Well, anyway, there's a lady. She was about as far back as that back bench there, and she comes up, and she goes, Jimmy, you don't need to be talking so loud. Well, you'd have thought I was embarrassed to death. I got over in front of that girl. By the way, when you're 80 years old, somebody 55, you can call them a girl. I got over in front of her, and I said, I'm Jim Waller. Can I give you a track? And I gave her 3 tracks. And the reason what I'm saying, talking about, getting all of you respond, I want you to become bold in Christ. You pick up, and you can find lots of tracks in here we give away, and the tracks that you have here. Get you a purse, you ladies, and put them in your purse. And you're standing in the line at the grocery store, and it's kind of long, and you turn to a lady and say, where do you go to church? And she tells you, you say, can I give you a track? And do you know, I find almost nobody will refuse it. I did have one young man up in Massachusetts. I was in a hotel up there, and he looked like an Indian. So I'm going to go over and speak to him, and I had a little New Testament. By the way, we have these little red New Testaments like the Gideon New Testament that tells about the kingdom of Christ in the first part of it. And so I walked over to him, and I said, I want to give you this New Testament. He said, no, I don't want it. I'm a Muslim. But people won't refuse. And by the way, suppose you say, well, Jim, if I were to give somebody a tract, they'd refuse, I'd be embarrassed. You remember what Peter said, 1 Peter 4? He said, if any man suffers a Christian, let him run in the house and get under the bed. You say, Jim Warren, you're just telling a lie. It's right. Brothers and sisters, be bold. You're a New Testament Christian.
And the world is depending on us. Jesus went back to heaven and he didn't tell the angels to take the gospel to the world. He said, my disciples, you take the gospel to the whole world. So every church of Christ has got to get fired up. Well, finally, I want to be sure that you pick up one of these. They're in the back there. Now, if there's someone here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. And if you've backslidden from the Lord, you need to come back by repentance and prayer. James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 14, he said that we are to pray, and then we can be restored. So whether you want to be restored or you want to be baptized, please come and stand and sing.